We'll just extend the second segment since we ran long talking about whether or not Pierre Garçon deserved a spot in the All-Century team.
See, I think it was the mustache conversation.
That was probably that really where we went off
overloaded
the rails.
the segment there.
By the way, Pierre Garçon seems like he should have a little pencil thin thing going on.
I completely agree with that.
Anyway, Seattle-Atlanta may have been the best game of the weekend.
It was the best ending of the weekend.
You know what? That's a right point.
I took a nap.
The middle of that game was a little weird.
I took a nap in the second quarter of that game.
And you know what? For a while, prediction was totally right. That Seattle would come out sluggish. They did. They looked jet lagged when they were playing in that. Everyone. Coaching decisions were terrible. 6 points that were left on the field. And just overall play, especially by that defense, was poor. Richard Sherman, stop waving your finger in Roddy White's face. Maybe play some defense.
True, but I will
say
something.
People don't like
Richard Sherman
you.
Can play.
He can play, but
he
stop talking
play.
And play. Okay?
Yeah, I didn't understand. What was he?
Roddy White burns him for like a 40-yard touchdown, and then he puts his finger in his face
it
or
is
giving
nothing,
the golf
or
clap.
20-3 at the time, yeah.
Yeah, so Richard Sherman, you asked like three days before that game, he's like, why do people hate me? Dude, that's why people hate you. That exact thing. But regardless. So just like we thought, Seattle looked jet-lagged and flat. Atlanta jumps out to an early lead, and it looked like for a while that was just going to be too much for Seattle to overcome. They eventually do. Matt Ryan throws a terrible interception that gives Seattle life. They come back, and then, I don't know, they fall apart with defensive. Richard Sherman and his defense fell apart and let Matt Ryan go back down the field with like 30 seconds left, and
they
Matt Ryan
kicked
hit
an
that.
Onside kick.
And then after
the
Falcons score, they onside kick when all you got to do is, I don't understand.
I was watching that, and at first happened, you know, and I'm paying not that much attention because I'm waiting for the guy to field the kickoff. You know, nobody watches the guys run down the field. All of a sudden that happens. I turn, I'm like, what? I thought it was a squib kick that accidentally hit one of the front.
That's what
guys.
I thought too.
And then it turns out you watch the replay and you're like, no, he just onside kicked it. And I get, you know, all these excuses that it was a miscommunication, that he asked, you know, Mike Smith asked for the squib kick and Matt Bryant.
You can't have that miscommunication.
If I'm Matt Bryant and he's been in the league for years and he's been a very good kicker, there's no way if I interpret that my coach just said with 30 seconds left in the lead, onside kick the ball. If that's what I thought I heard him say, my first thing, a red light's going off in my head that says, maybe I misinterpreted what he said.
Second is, coach has had a stroke.
Yeah.
Can we get somebody
exactly.
over here, please?
Exactly. That's like what's going on with the left side of his face?
People talk about these things are like, well, you know, some of these decisions. Well, you know, if it works, it's great. If it doesn't, the coach is this isn't one of those. This is just, no, even if that worked, it's like, that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Right, and I blame.
Even if it worked.
A lot of, you know, you blame Mike Smith because you can't let miscommunications happen in that spot if you're the head coach. But I blame Matt Bryant for having the football IQ of an elf, for going out there. I'm an elf that doesn't like football, prefers to be a dentist.
He makes Jack in the Boxes instead
right.
of footballs.
I mean,
comes Santa.
You can't hear squib kick, think onside kick, and not go for a confirmation with your coach that he actually wants an onside kick, given the context in which you're playing the game.
And even if he does, just kick it deep. I don't understand. Like, before that even happened, I said, if this ball doesn't end up 40 yards out of the end zone, somebody's out of their minds.
That's the other thing.
Just kick it out of the end zone. Don't even squib it. Just boot it out of the end zone and say, all right, you got 80 yards. Good luck. But, look, either way, Atlanta gets it done somehow. They get it done, and Seattle will come in to play. Or I'm sorry, not Seattle. My apologies. San Francisco will come in fresh off Colin Kaepernick's, you know, coming out party, and it should be a great game. It much the way I thought the Packer 49er game would set up. This is one of those. Both teams do two different things really well, and they're perfectly matched. It's strength against strength. I think it's going to be a great game. Very much looking forward to it.
I'll tell you, the one thing I will say, looking at those two games, and in those two games, I began to buy stock into Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, where I was the last guy to buy any stock into both of those players. The one thing I do like about Russell Wilson that I think may bite Colin Kaepernick, Colin Kaepernick is all of a sudden the face of the NFL. He has one fantastic game, and it was fantastic.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, he's the greatest player that's ever happened. He's, you know, He transcends the sport. Mm-hmm. He's a new breed of quarterback, etc. What I saw in Russell Wilson that I didn't see in Colin Kaepernick, which is why Colin Kaepernick ran for 188 and broke that record,
yeah.
is because something breaks down, he relies on his legs and he moves. Russell Wilson could have ran for 8, 10, 15 yards numerous times, but he sat in the pocket, he finagled the pocket, and he looked to throw.
See, you say that, and your point's well taken, but most quarterbacks like that, like a Vic, he's got a strong arm. It's not exactly an accurate arm. Colin Kaepernick made throws in that Packer game that were insane.
They were incredible.
They were insane. And so, look, if he wants to run, fine, he can do that, because I know that when he pulls it down and he said, or when, you know, when he jacks it up and says time to throw, I know he can do it.
Now that was the biggest thing. You know, he ran for 188, and everybody was talking about that. I knew he could do that. I saw him do that when he was running in the Wildcat. What I didn't know he could do was throw laser beams to
accurately.
Hit pennies that are falling out of the sky. It was unbelievable how accurate and how much velocity he had on his throws.
And that's what's going to make this, I think, a great game. I just, I'm excited to see Kaepernick versus that Atlanta defense and the big guns for Atlanta. I think Atlanta, Julio Jones and... on paper, Julio Jones and Roddy White both have an advantage, I think, over the 49ers corners. It's just going to be whether or not, you know, that front line gets after Matt Bryant, makes him make some bad decisions, which he can do. Matt Ryan, make him make some bad decisions.
Well, we know that Matt Bryant makes bad decisions.
Right. So does Matt Ryan, so we'll see how that works out. The second game, Ravens, Patriots. I mean, just what can you say?
It happens every year.
It's a classic football game. Ray Lewis, you know, on his final ride through town. A lot of people saying they like the Ravens a lot in this game. I don't really see it. I don't trust Joe Flacco. I don't care. I know Torrey Smith's a beast. Anquan Boldin is underrated. He's just kind of been hidden away in Baltimore with Joe Flacco, but he's still a great wide receiver.
Joe Flacco has tied the NFL record for the most road playoff victories. Now, obviously, some great quarterbacks don't contend for that record because they get home games.
Right.
You know, you're looking at Eli Manning as the other guy with that record, and that's because Eli shoots himself in the foot on his way to the postseason.
Right.
But, he there's almost, and I agree with you, which is what's funny, I don't totally buy Joe Flacco
either. But again, we were just talking about, quarterback doesn't exist in a vacuum. He played a lot of those years with really great defenses.
Right. You know what it is? He's got Ben Stiller disease. Ben Stiller, on paper, is an A-grade comedian. He gets all these roles. He's in fantastic movies. I just don't think he's funny. I don't think he's that funny. It's same with Joe Flacco.
Well, you know why? Because every now and then...
championship games.
Right, because every now and then, an Along Came Polly comes along and proves you're right. Right? And I think this might be Joe Flacco's Along Came Polly.
I can't stand...
You don't like Meet the Parents? I don't like Meet the Fockers. Meet the Parents is a solid film.
I don't like cringe comedy. When you're going out just to make me feel uncomfortable for the situation, maybe it's
because I'm that awkward
of a guy in real life.
See, I don't either, but Meet the Parents was not that kind of movie for me. I thought that was very funny.
I couldn't disagree more.
Zoolander's phenomenal. He directed that, and I think wrote it, too, so let's give him some credit.
Oh, I mean, I give Ben Stiller some credit. He's
except
good.
In the Joe Flacco comparison, because Joe Flacco sucks.
Right, Joe Flacco's got the resume in terms of W's and AFC championship games, et cetera, et cetera. I just don't think he's that good. He doesn't pass the eye test.
That is exactly right. I rely, have sabermetrics be damned. I rely on the eye test. We'll get a full preview and all of that coming up this Sunday on Cover 2, 11 a.m. Come back. Two more segments left. That was it was just a bonus. Free podcast here on 104.5theteam.com.